The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also hearing us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, Stockbridge down there. Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Friday, January 24th. Glad to have you here with us this morning. We're live and local here in our WTBR studios and have a great show for you this morning. We have Robert Malnati. He is the administrator of the BRTA. That's the Berkshire Regional Transit Authority. And that's an institution here in Berkshire County recently and this year celebrating 50 years of service, 50 years of the BRTA. It's a great, great milestone for that organization. We're going to talk to Bob about that all morning long here. Got lots of good stuff to talk about. You just have to stick around and find out what we're talking about. Please stick around for that. First, let's go to our weather forecast, see what we have in store for us over the next day or so. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Cold with highs in the mid-20s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Cold with lows around 5 above. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 5 below. Saturday, mostly sunny. Cold with highs in the mid-20s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, there you go. Short and sweet, not too bad. It is going to be a little cold here, as you can see, over the next day or two. We're warming up a little bit, I hear, and then another cold snap later on next week is what I'm hearing. But no big snowstorms in the big forecast for us, as far as I know. But you never know. Hey, Berkshires, right? Wait 5 minutes, find out. Something else changes. That's the way it goes with the weather. All right, welcome back to the show here, Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And joining me now in the studio, Mr. Robert Malnati. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sean.
Thanks for joining me here today.
Absolutely.
So Berkshire Regional Transit Authority celebrating 50 years of service in the Berkshires. So that's dating all the way back to 1974.
Absolutely. We've got a proclamation and some information in our files that said, hey, June of 74, the BRTA was enacted along with a few other transit authorities across the state. Hmm. And the communities have started from original five communities to now we're 30 out of the 32. There's two communities that haven't joined us yet. And we pretty much go the width of the Commonwealth on a daily basis.
Wow. And that's such an important service to have here in Berkshire County. And we sort of talked a little just before the show started about how that compares to other parts of the state and their regional transit authorities, because every part of the state has an RTA, is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep, they're usually by the county. Mm-hmm. Some of them, like Pioneer Valley has two, Hampshire and Hampton. Mm-hmm. And then as you head east, you might have a town or city like Worcester and Brockton. They're specific to
that. So they have their own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They do.
And Boston, obviously.
That's the big McGrill. Yeah.
But obviously, regional transit, public transportation in general, looks a lot different from Boston to the Berkshires, right? So the needs and the concerns of the BRTA here in Berkshire County is going to look a lot different than what they have to deal with in Boston.
Yeah, absolutely. We are still hourly service, which means we pulse out of the intermodal center on the half hour, and the next bus leaving is another hour later. You get farther east, and you might have half-hour service or 15-minute service on some lines. And we have hourly.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
but it's dependable, right? So on the hour, essentially, you can expect that you can hop on a bus and get somewhere that you need to get to. Predictable.
Predictable, yes. We recently had a rash of the influenza that's hit, so we had a bunch of cancellations yesterday, and some of them were last minute, which we try to let the public know as soon as possible, and unfortunately that does happen on some days, some routes.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, we try to be reliable. We try to be predictable.
Mm-hmm. And maybe give us some of the milestones over those 50 years, because I'm sure things have changed from the early days of running a regional transit authority in the Berkshires. As you said, starting out with only five communities and then expanding. So how did that work out?
It works out very well. The more communities that have expressed service of joining because they want some type of service. There are communities that have joined simply because their population is getting older, mm-hmm. and we are a conduit for the state to offer vehicles for the Councils on Aging.
Hmm.
So they join our transit authority so they can have access to those vehicles.
Hmm.
And so a lot of them are done by the Councils on Aging. Mm-hmm. So if we don't have a bus that may service that area, the Council on Aging is able to run a smaller vehicle and serve some of the needs of those communities.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've seen those vehicles riding around, and I'm like, how does that get worked out? So those are technically through the state, through the Regional Transit Authority, but they're really more operated by the senior centers and the Councils on Aging.
Yes, and in order to get a free vehicle from the state, they have to do some reporting on it. They mm-hmm. have to be part of the drug and alcohol pool. So, yes, you get a $70,000 vehicle, but you still have to operate it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no operating money. It's here's the asset,
okay.
and you provide the trips.
Mm.
So,
but I can see where that would be a lifeline, especially for some of the smaller communities where you know, that transportation just wouldn't exist at all.
Right. And then we have some communities that have more towns that they provide service for. Adams and Cheshire were helping out Savoy at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and so some of the main routes, just to remind us of where the BRTA services, and just for people that aren't familiar with it or don't ride it all the time, what are some of those routes and the sort of the common places that people need to get to and from here in the Berkshires?
Okay, we are centric to Pittsfield. That's where everything is based. So if it's an outbound trip, you are leaving Pittsfield, going out, and if you're an inbound trip, you are going from that other community back into the Pittsfield at the Intermodal Center.
Mm.
We go to North Adams along Route 8. So there's Cheshire, there's Lanesboro, there's Adams, there's North Adams. Then we also go to Williamstown. So there's a dedicated route from Williamstown to Main Street, North Adams.
Okay.
There is a transition from Main Street, North Adams to the Walmart is the main focal point. Where one of the Route 1 ends at the Walmart and turns around and comes back.
Okay.
At one point in time, it stayed up in North Adams, did a whole loop, and came back, and it was 2 hours before it came back. And we tried to say, let's try and get the main route hourly going up, an hour up and back. And then we had another connecting route. And then in South County, it goes from Pittsfield down to Great Barrington, Route 7, so it's Lee, Lennox. We go to Lennoxdale.
Mm-hmm.
We go through Stockbridge, and that's the main focus of the routes. Mm.
And when you say you go through Stockbridge, there are stops there as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are dedicated stops on the schedules. Those are time points where the bus should be there at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, the bus will not be early.
Right.
We can be late. That's more acceptable than, the bus came early.
Yeah, you don't want your bus coming early.
Yeah.
If it's early, you want to stay in there for a little while and then start again, right?
Right.
You don't want to get there and say, wait a minute, did I miss it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I live on near East Street, and my street is very long, so I can see East Street from the top of mine. And I'm thinking, all right, am I going to catch the bus? Mm-hmm. What happens if it goes by while I'm walking down? You know,
right?
And then it's like, so yeah, that's that. I think all of our riders have that fear of, oh, what if I miss the bus? Mm-hmm. I've got another hour to wait for the next
one.
So
yeah. It's a long time. And so some of the other changes that have happened over the years, you've mentioned the intermodal center a couple times already this morning, and that was obviously kind of a watershed moment, right, for the BRTA.
It was.
Where was the B centered before there was an intermodal center?
North Street, probably. There used to be a stop in front of Newberry's.
Okay.
Remember that store?
Yeah.
And then on the other side at Berkshire Bank. Mm-hmm. And if you had to transition from one stop to the next and you had to get on a bus heading south, you had to cross North Street.
So it wasn't really a hub of any kind.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. And that, again, was part of it. Think of the intermodal meaning what? Cars, buses, trains. Right.
Yep.
And the idea was at that time that there wasn't really a great train station either. There was just a little plastic shelter, right?
Correct.
That was all they had there.
That was it. And that was on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah.
And so it was to try and get everything centered. And then it also services the intercity buses. So Peter Pan, Greyhound, taxis, all of that.
Yeah.
Supposed to live there.
Yeah. Really, really big consequential thing. And that's only happened really in the last 20 years. And that was, I think, due to a lot of the efforts of Congressman Olver, if I remember right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was there for the big check and the groundbreaking. Yes.
Yeah. But huge. I mean, imagine trying to build something like that without that kind of federal assistance. You know, it would not have happened. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so other changes that have happened since then, I think about maybe the size of the vehicles. How has that changed?
Originally, when I first started 20 years ago, they were all 35, 40-foot vehicles. And then it didn't
make... big buses, basically.
The bigger buses. Yeah. And it didn't make sense to run a big bus where you didn't have the ridership. So we started to transition to a smaller cutaway vehicle that, A, it's less expensive... but there again, it's the useful life is a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
So you might go through two of those smaller vehicles instead of just the one large one.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why is that? Is that because the larger vehicles are just easier to maintain on a longer term? Or
They're heavier duty.
Yeah.
And when you have a heavy-duty suspension and heavy-duty frame, it stands up to the corrosion.
Hmm.
And that's usually our biggest issue is the salt factor.
Yeah.
We've transitioned a lot from all large buses to just a handful of large buses and more smaller buses. With our ridership increases, we are now looking further at getting even large, going back to some of the 40-foot buses instead of the 35s. So the next large vehicle that we might purchase, we're looking at those.
Hmm. And what is sort of like the percentage of those that you're running? Is it like half and half or?
No.
No?
It's probably 20%.
Of the large vehicles?
Of the large.
Okay.
Yep.
So big shift, really.
Yeah, it is. It is. But they're also a 12-year lifespan. So the vehicles that we just received now, I'm going to ask, they'll be here for another 12 years, hopefully.
What does the state funding look like to purchase new vehicles? Because that's probably... a longer term thing, and it doesn't, I assume that funding doesn't come every year, it comes on some kind of cycle?
The state is a 20% match for us. It's 80% federal.
Okay.
So we would apply for a federal grant. We usually do that in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rolling grant. Mm-hmm. Now that there's a new administration, we have to see how that will shake out. But usually there's been a notice of funding opportunity, and we take a look at our inventory. What can we look to be replacing?
Are you able to replace vehicles like every year, or do you have to wait longer?
It's usually a couple of years, because if we receive funding today, it takes another year for the application to go in before you actually have the money to do stuff, and it takes at least a year, maybe 18 months to put an order in for a vehicle before you get it.
So it's not like going down to the car dealership and picking out your new bus.
No, no. What color would you like? So it's a process, and the manufacturers of the vehicles are still hampered with supply chain issues.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The last two buses that we had roll in, they were right behind each other in the assembly line, and one guy pulled the one last part out of the box and put it on one vehicle, and the other said, oh, we're done. So that took about 3 weeks before they could get another part and send that last vehicle out.
Wow. And what has the technology looked like and changed over the years, too? Because, again, you think of the buses as generally they're diesel, right?
Yep, correct.
And have been for many years. Yep. There's some hybrids out there, right? And the emergence of maybe fully electric vehicles. No, we're not quite there yet, right? But what does that technology frontier look like as this 50-year anniversary for the BRTA comes through?
Well, they probably were all diesel. They have cleaned up the diesel. We're using ultra-low sulfur, so it is less polluting than before. Some of the newer buses that were just diesel had an afterburner on it so that the emissions were cleaned up a little bit. We have transitioned into hybrid. Some of our smaller vehicles, we would get a bolt-on from a manufacturer and change some of the drivetrain so it had some regenerative braking.
Okay.
And so that helps with wear and tear. And then we do have five of the large vehicles that are now diesel hybrid electric.
Okay.
And so they are, if you haven't ridden one of those, smooth.
Yeah.
Quiet. A real nice vehicle.
Wow.
And then just Wednesday, we took a road trip down to Providence and test drove a hydrogen bus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was a 40-foot hydrogen bus. Same thing. It sounds like George Jetson, but it's reality is it's clean burning. You have a fuel cell at the back of the bus, and we compared that to a fully electric bus right next to it. There's just a little cell on the bottom of it, and the emissions is water out of the tailpipe.
Yeah,
that's it.
Huh.
And it's, you charge it at the end of the night. It's just like a big tank. You fill it up. About 15 minutes to 20 minutes to charge the vehicle or fill the vehicle's tank up, and away you go. It's not the overnight charging. It's not the overhead charging, which that infrastructure is very costly. And out here, the grid, I don't believe, will be able to support that kind of efforts from us.
It's interesting. So the hydrogen will be a real strong alternative then maybe. I mean, there probably will be many communities that go the full electric route as well, and I don't know if some have already, but maybe here in the Berkshires, the hydrogen is the better future alternative.
That's what we're leaning.
Interesting.
Because cold weather is not a battery's friend, and if you have an electric vehicle, you either purchase a diesel engine to provide the ambient temperature, or your range drops dramatically. I know that when you're 20 below, like it was up in Williamstown the other day, that is not you might not have a bus going.
Well, I was going to say, that's not great for the diesel vehicles either, right?
Well,
just like the school buses, they're hard to start at that time, at that point.
Yeah, they are. But at least once they get going, you're good. So that's one of the biggest fallback, where we've had a couple of studies that if we were to go the battery electric route, you would not be replacing one diesel with one battery electric bus. You'd have to have at least two, maybe even three for the same coverage. And then it's how do you keep them charged in order to run? Or you take one, you run it for a little bit, and then bring it back and charge it and bring another one out.
Yeah. lots to think about, and people don't necessarily think about this stuff when they need to ride the bus, but it's important that you are. Yeah. Bob Molnati is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, also on 88.1 in Lee. And yeah, there's just so much to think about, and you're always thinking about the future, right? It's it's wonderful to look back and say, don't we have a great institution here of the B for the last 50 years in the Berkshires? But you know, you also need to say, where are we headed?
Correct.
In so many ways. So we want to bring up one thing that maybe people don't know about, and that's the B being fare free. So if you didn't realize that, Bob, talk about that a little bit.
Sure. We applied for a grant from the state DOT. It was part of the legislature put it in last fiscal year's budget to set aside $30 million statewide for a fare-free system-wide service. We applied. There were 13 of the 15 RTAs applied for that funding. We received a little bit less than $700,000.
Okay.
And that will provide about 9 months worth of what we had forecast for fare revenue. So we started in January, and we will go through the end of September fare free.
Started in January of 25.
January of 25.
Just started.
Yep. The other fare-free events that we have had in the past, which we did at the holiday time, that was a different grant that we had applied for and received funding to replace the fares. So this is fare replacement. Mm. So we did receive funding for it. Someone's paying for the fares. And right now it was the legislature had put some money aside.
Wow.
Looking at House 1, that language is in there again this year for a set dollar amount for a fare-free event.
Wow.
So we'll see where that goes in the whole process.
Yeah. Has that encouraged more people to step up and use the B?
It has. Right now, through December, we just got our numbers in. We're 10% higher than we were last year. So for that period of time, we're at 274,000 riders for 6 months.
Wow.
And if we project out what we will see, whether we hold the 10% or if we just mirror what we did last year, we'll be about double. So anywhere's, let's see, what did I write? 566,000 up to 588,000.
Wow.
So,
and that's in the over the course of a year.
A year,
yeah,
right.
We had over 500,000 people,
right?
And riders.
Yeah. So, people are using it, and I think because it's for a period of time more than just a week or a couple of weeks, you can actually try it, see if it works for you. Mm-hmm. Can it fit into your schedule?
Yeah.
Will it work?
Yeah.
And some of our routes are going until 10, 11 o'clock at night. So you've extended that range for a lot of folks.
And talk about the importance of extending the hours like that, because people work all kinds of different shifts, right? Especially in Berkshire County.
Right. Right. And that was a survey we had done last year. And this was one of their options was extend out later evening for some of the routes. And some of the routes will go later. That's probably the Route 1 or the Route 2 coming. And the Route 1 goes from Pittsfield to North Adams and back.
Mm-hmm.
And the Route 2 goes from Pittsfield to to Lee and back.
Okay.
Those are the main arteries. Mm-hmm. Those might run a little longer than the other routes coming into it, as opposed to the one to West Pittsfield. That might stop at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And West Pittsfield meaning
BCC. Berkshire Community College area. We go out as far as Callahan Drive is the other part of West Pittsfield. So
okay, out on Route 20.
Route 20,
yep. So that that certainly keeps you busy, moving people around, almost a half or more than a 500,000 people or riders throughout the year. So tremendous service, and knowing that it does impact people's regular lives, you know, getting to work. I think you mentioned the North Adams route, getting to the Walmart. If you're familiar with North Adams, you know, it used to have kind of a thriving downtown where you could walk and get a lot of the, you know, your basic needs taken care of. And now, you know, with part of that sort of separated from the rest of the town, the transit is even more important.
It is. And that route that transitions between Main Street and Walmart is the route that carries in most wheelchairs.
Oh, interesting.
So we track how many wheelchairs on each route, and that is the number one route. And that's something that I try to pride ourselves in. Yeah. I mean, we have that on our website as to how many wheelchairs we transport on a monthly basis. And it means that the bus route goes where the customer needs to go when it needs to, when they need to get there, and it's affordable for them. It's free right now. So as would be the paratransit, but the paratransit is I have to call, make a reservation, wait for the bus to come get me. Whereas if
it's more appointment.
Right.
Yeah.
But if I can, my independent me says, I want to take control over me and get myself to the bus stop, I can do that.
Right. But still, just the idea that from now through September, you can ride the BRTA bus system absolutely free.
Absolutely free.
Then just we want to reiterate that because you may not have heard that right.
That is right.
And so, you know, it's such an important thing to have. And out of the whole budget that you have, generally speaking, how much of the sort of the fares does that represent your budget? Is it kind of a smaller wedge of it?
It's a very small wedge. The fare revenue generated is not... it is significant, but it's
enough where you need to collect fares normally,
right? Mm-hmm. Or have a mechanism to replace that what we had budgeted for,
right?
So yeah, but it certainly isn't. I believe our last budget was close to $10-11 million. So
a significant amount of the funding comes through the state,
state and federal, Yep. And then the local share comes from the communities that serve that we serve.
So. And then I know also that each of the communities sort of has a representative, right, when it comes to governing or administering the, the organization. Tell people how that works.
Sure. We have an advisory board, and the chief elected official from the communities that we serve has a seat on the board or their designee.
So it would be the mayor of Pittsfield, mayor of North Adams.
And the mayor of Pittsfield is on our board. So he has been there in years past. There's been a designee. And we meet about six times a year, seven, depends on how contentious budget issues are or if there's a, you know, if we do a change in service, we have more input with the board. But we have about six or seven times a year we meet, and they, being the board, have in charge of hiring an administrator, setting the fares. So anytime we did fare free, the board had to vote on that. If we change the fares, they have a say in it. Purchasing real estate. And then the other one is the service levels. How much service you want in your community?
What where would you need to purchase real estate?
Well, we're looking at what do we do with the next 5 years if we're going to look at a hydrogen facility?
You gotta have some place to.
You got to have some place to do that. You can't mix the two together. They have because it's lighter than air, so you have to have exhaust systems, and if you're storing things indoors, maintenance bays have to be reconfigured a little different than dealing with our regular diesel or gas vehicle.
So, interesting, and still a little less demanding than the all electric infrastructure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're. I mean, it's. We would love to be. Environmentally sound. The hybrid vehicles right now that we're running are going to be able to fill in that niche for us right now. But the way things are and technology has changed over, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
By the time we're ready to make that transition, there might be something newer or better than even the hydrogen. But for right now, that seems to work better for us because of the range that the vehicle can do and the limitations that the battery electric have.
And when you're running over the amount of real estate that we have in Berkshire County, you know, you're not doing just kind of a within a city route. You're doing the length of Berkshire County, which is, what, 50-something miles.
Yeah, we have the route that goes from Pittsfield to North Adams and back. That's the one big one, and that leaves at, you know, 5-something in the morning. 5:30 is the first bus out. That doesn't come back till 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow.
So that bus has to be out there.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. And some of these other vehicles, the newer generation of the hydrogen one, they're saying it's about 300 service miles, which, okay, that would work for us.
That's the range, right?
That's the range. Yeah. If you have to change that off at 100 miles, that we're dead in the water.
Yeah, right.
So,
Robert Malnati is my guest here this morning. He is the administrator of the BRTA, the B, Berkshire Regional Transit Authority, and we're talking to him about all the issues surrounding regional transit here in the Berkshires. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and we will be back. We're going to take that little top of the hour break that we always take, and we will return to talk more about paratransit and some connectivity grant that was just put in, or we'll talk about that. We'll figure it all out when we come back here on Morning Drive, and we'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Precision Brows, specializing in creating flawless microblading that enhances beauty and saves time every day. Find them online at myprecisionpmu.com or call 413-553-1059.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Got your weather forecast for the day? Don't forget to check your AQI, too. Check your air quality index daily to see if you're good to go or if you might need to limit your outdoor activities. Visit airnow.gov online or download the app to your phone. And if you want to check out the AQI right in your neighborhood, visit breatheeasyberkshires.org to see real-time readings from air quality monitors set up across Pittsfield. Breathe Easy Berkshires is a program of Berkshire Environmental Action Team.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM and WSBR in Lee 88.1. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It's Friday, January 24th, and we're glad you're here with us this morning to talk about regional transit with Berkshire Regional Transit Authority Administrator Robert Malnati. He's talking to us about all the issues. You may not even know all the stuff that goes on to make sure those buses get there on time and keep people moving here in the county. So great conversation, and stick around. We'll have more of that in just a moment. First, let's do the weather forecast from our National Weather Service.
Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Cold with highs in the mid-20s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Cold with lows around 5 above. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 5 below. Saturday, mostly sunny. Cold with highs in the mid-20s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Still cold. I guess that's what we can say there. Getting a slight warming up near the end of the weekend, I was hearing. So no big snowstorms coming, but still cold today, tonight for sure. So keep bundled up and keep those boilers running. That's what you want to do. Make sure you don't end up in a situation where you're thawing your pipes out with a hairdryer or something like that. Although I bet some people have done that this past week. It was cold. It was one of the coldest ones in a while, right? We got to minus 16 here in Pittsfield on Tuesday into Wednesday. That's pretty cold. You guys run into any issues with the cold, Bob?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, that's good.
Because the diesel buses are in a garage.
Yeah, okay. So that helps.
It does. Helps a great deal.
But we got to keep those running for sure. So let's talk about paratransit for a moment. Describe what that is and how it works with the B.
Okay. Paratransit is the program where customers have a mobility impairment and cannot access the fixed route. So it's an application that gets completed by the customer. A medical professional fills out and verifies what the impairment might be. We receive the application, review it. If people are approved, they come in, get a photo ID, and then they're eligible to access the smaller purple and white vehicles that you see running around the area. They are all lift-equipped. So wheelchair, walker, you don't have to be ambulatory to be able to use those.
And each vehicle will bring one person or one person and other people with them? How does that work?
Yeah, we try not to do single and direct.
No.
But if that happens to be the only time where someone needs to go somewhere, yes, it will be a one person. You can bring a PCA, which is a personal care attendant, with you. The customer needs to make that known at the time of the reservation.
Okay.
And you can call the reservation before 5 o'clock in the evening for the next day's service. You can schedule a trip up to 2 weeks in advance. And there's a phone number that will ring your house and verify your trip. And if you cancel it, you can cancel at that time.
And for people wanting that service, why don't you give that phone number out?
It's 499-2782, and then I believe you hit option 3 for the paratransit section.
Great.
Where you'll run into some call takers there.
So one of the new things that you've introduced or are introducing recently is evening paratransit, all right? So
yes.
Talk about that.
Yes. We applied for and received funding from the state, and originally the grant was for trips originating and ending in Pittsfield. And then there was not a large enough use of that. So we've extended it to any of the communities that receive the paratransit service, which are the 13 communities that are served by the fixed route, can call and they can have a reservation and you can stay out until 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
So you want to go to dinner, you want to go to the movies, you want to go to City Hall for the City Council meeting,
yeah,
you certainly can do that.
Because life doesn't end at 5 p.m.
No, no. For most people, it does not.
Right.
And so, yeah, up until 10 o'clock at night. And it's the same thing right now. It's free.
That's amazing, right?
It is. It is. And then we have another program that is for the Hilltowns for medical trips for seniors, so over 60. If you aren't already applied and approved for the paratransit services, you can fill out a one-page application, name, address, and contact information, and then we can schedule those trips. Those are not free.
Okay.
So those don't are not serviced by the fixed route, so those are the communities that, that don't have service, like Alford would be one of them. Beckett is another. But there are 13 communities that you would end up paying the non-ADA pricing, which if that's an option to get you to a medical trip, or you could be over 60 and need to go somewhere, so you're a senior, we will do that. If you're not sure about this, we have a travel trainer that can go to the communities and give some instruction on what services are available. And we have that, and that's free.
Wow. And will that person do sort of a group training, or how does that work? How do you request that?
You can call our phone number, the 499-2782, and ask for Julie. And Julie is our travel trainer, and she has done one-on-ones with folks. She's done groups. And she'll go to the different communities and talk about what services are available.
Really important to have that, too, because you may not even realize that all these things are available or how to access them or how they work, how it functions, right?
Right, correct. And you can even call her about how to ride the bus. We were just at a meeting the other day, and one person said, as a child growing up, they were terrified of getting on the bus because they didn't know when do you pull the cord, when, how do you let people know you want to get off the bus. So we're going to try to allay those fears and do this travel training. So if you want to even learn how to ride the bus, we can certainly call and ask for Julie, and we'll show you how to ride the bus too.
Are there additional challenges to serving the more rural and remote areas of the Berkshires that are served by the B? Because you certainly, you know, that would say 13 communities that are sort of on that central route, and, you know, that's regular service. But there are lots of places in Berkshire County, again, a lot different than the other urban areas of Massachusetts where RTAs are servicing. It's kind of cut and dried, right? You know, city streets, you know, point A to point B. In the Berkshires, it's really, you know, a different story here.
It is, and that's where a lot of the councils on aging play an important role, where most communities have a council on aging, and they meet for lunches, or they have something going on at the town hall or the community center, and they have applied for a lot of the vehicles, and then they are able to offer trips for their constituents.
Yeah. Makes it a lot less isolating, especially at times like the dead of winter, right, where it's hard to get out and get anywhere anyway. You know, you kind of get homebound, and so that's a real strong opportunity to get people socializing and get them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very important. Bob Malnati is my guest here from the BRTA, the administrator, and we're talking about lots of issues that are and features, I guess, of the Regional Transit Authority that serves the Berkshires. Let's talk about a connectivity grant that's happening with the, now you're going to tell me, the FRTA and the PVTA.
Sure.
Lots of alphabet soup there. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, a couple of years ago, we had applied to MassDOT for a grant to connect the Berkshires with Franklin up in Greenfield and Pioneer over in Northampton. The grant was awarded. Service hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
Main component of the grant was the rehabilitation of some over-the-road coaches, like a Peter Pan bus or a Greyhound bus that MassDOT owned that were pulled off the road during COVID because ridership going in and out of Boston and everywhere else pretty much fell off. So they were going to be rehabbing those vehicles and getting them roadworthy. That was a major component of that first year of grant. We're still working through that.
So what will the service eventually sort of look like? What would ideally connecting places like Pittsfield and Greenfield or Pittsfield and Northampton, how does that work?
We being BRTA, would have a vehicle that would leave the intermodal center early in the morning. Going to Northampton, it would travel over Route 9, or Route 8, I'm sorry. So you're going up through Dalton and Hinsdale, Windsor and Cummington and Goshen, and then heading down Williamsburg and then eventually Northampton.
Yep.
So that bus would follow that route. At the same time, PVTA, which is Pioneer Valley, would have a bus doing the same route in the opposite direction.
Huh.
So by the time our bus got to Northampton, their bus would come to Pittsfield.
Okay.
They would wait a few minutes, and then they would reverse the route, and we would reverse the route.
Okay. And how many times, let's say, a day would that happen where you could you know, predictably hop on a bus, get to Northampton, spend the day doing something there, and then know that you're going to be heading back to Pittsfield at a certain time?
We would do it once in the morning and once at night.
Okay.
So either direction,
yep.
That would be that one route. The other route would go from Main Street and North Adams and go to 116 to 112 up through Savoy, then on to 2 up into Greenfield.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Greenfield at the same time would have a bus leaving Greenfield and doing reversing that same route and go down to North Adams Main Street, then go back.
Okay.
And again, one trip in the morning, one trip in the evening.
Yep.
So each transit authority would be responsible for that one section of route and time frame and timetable. Customers wouldn't know which vehicle you're getting on because they're going to all be branded the same.
Okay.
So didn't matter which bus you're getting on.
Yeah.
Where you're going is all you need to know.
Do they have a name for the service yet? Will it be something that is catchy? And
We started to work on that. We put that in the application as that name, and then we were going to do some publicity to find out which what we would call it, but because the buses aren't ready yet, we were told to hold off on doing anything until the buses are at least being worked on.
So this is still kind of a work in progress, right?
It is.
But the grant has been awarded, essentially, and things are, the wheels are turning, if you will. Forgive the pun.
Yes. they are. And I just spoke with DOT the other day, and they had sent out a solicitation for someone to rehab the buses, and they got no responses. So,
oh boy,
right. So
it's always something.
It is. So now they're going to retool it and send it back out. But we received not only 1 year, but we received 2 years of funding for it. So there was another application that came through. We applied again, and so now we have 2 years worth of money for this service. And we started talking about it a while ago, and customers have been asking, hey, when's this going to happen?
I would think, yeah.
When's it going to happen? Because you can get from here to there in the day. So if you want to spend the day, and it'll be Monday through Friday for right now, and the fare for that would be $10 one way.
I mean, can't beat that. You can't even drive there for that money.
And if you're qualified for reduced fare, it's $5. So if you wanted to go to Greenfield to go shopping for the day from North Adams, you could.
Yep.
You could go from Pittsfield and go up to North Adams and then take the bus over.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're excited to get it going
Because
I think this would help a great deal with this interconnectivity and the isolation that you were talking about a little, because a lot of the communities that these vehicles are going through don't have service.
Right.
You know, Savoy doesn't have a bus going through there. So yeah. This would connect it to which, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to North Adams or do you want to go to Greenfield?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and it kind of reminds me also of tying this in with all the things that are happening with rail service right now, too, right?
Absolutely.
There's a real big impetus right now for, and who knows exactly how that's all going to shape up. Is it going to be a Berkshire Flyer heading to New York City? Is it going to be west-east train service? Is it going to, you know, head through the intermodal center? How can the BRTA connect with that and also extend that service? Because once people land at the intermodal, they still got to get somewhere, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
How does that all get coordinated?
Yes.
TBA.
Yeah. Well, that last mile, we pulse out on the half hour purposefully, so that if there is a train that comes in, the Lakeshore Limited comes in, and it's usually around that half hour.
It's right in the middle of the afternoon, right? It's like 3:30, 4 o'clock or something like that.
4:30-ish usually. So you could get on a bus. You could go somewhere if you needed to go, if you weren't staying at Hotel on North. And currently, right now, you know, the Lakeshore Limited does come every day.
Yeah.
Monday through Sunday.
Right.
So those connections are there. The Berkshire Flyer, most of the folks that were coming up here have been here before, know the connections, know that I have to have somebody pick me up, or I've made arrangements for that. Last year with the Flyer, we did contract with a vehicle to be there to provide service for folks, and it really wasn't utilized a lot.
Okay.
So,
and it's, again, it's, you know, when you add new service like that to a place like Berkshire County and like Pittsfield, it's going to be different than if you were to add new service to, say, even an Albany, you know, or a Springfield or a Hartford or something like that, where they've got sort of this built-up infrastructure of cabs and Ubers and, you know, all kinds of things. You walk out of the doors of where you've just come from and say, okay, on to next. What do I do? It's right here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to hop in and someone's going to take me to my last mile to get where I have to go. And we don't necessarily have that all here, do we?
No. And the cab service, to their credit, there is still a cab service, and they are, I'm sure, the same labor issues that everyone else has.
I was going to ask you about that, too.
Yeah. They're here, and you might wait an hour for them to show up. Uber, depends. You turn it on. He might be working today. He might not.
Right.
I think there's like two or three operators in the area.
Yeah. I heard that there was one at one point, so that's actually an increase.
Yeah.
It's important, and these are modern things that, again, if you go to any other city, you're gonna have your Uber app open, and you're gonna call your car, and it's gonna be there. But you know, maybe not here.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. What about getting new people to come in and drive for the BRTA, along with other transit services here in the Berkshires, like we just mentioned? How difficult is that, and are you always looking for people to make that a career for themselves?
We are always looking.
Yeah.
We have been fortunate where the assistant general manager over at Operations Center has been working with Mass Hire to do a CDL permit class.
Okay.
So your commercial driver's license, you have to have the permit.
Is that required for all the B's vehicles?
For the large buses.
Just the large ones?
Just the large ones. The small ones, no. So there has been at least a conduit for that. Berkshire Community College ran a program. They're going to be looking at, again, running a commercial driver's license for trucking.
And so that would apply also to driving the bus?
Except you need a passenger endorsement.
Oh.
So
okay.
There is a little more that you have to do to be a bus operator.
Gotcha.
And unfortunately, there is no testing site here in Berkshire County. So even if you're ready to go and you've done everything with your permit and you're ready to take your test, you got to drive a vehicle over to South Deerfield, maybe, or farther east just for your test.
Interesting.
So we're working on that, too. but
they don't make it easy for us here in Western Mass sometimes.
No, yeah. No. And the secretary of the registry was here Tuesday down in Lenox, mm-hmm. and she said that, you know, they're still looking for sites and didn't realize that it was such a issue.
Yeah.
So at least it's on her radar still.
Yeah. Well, if you got to keep those buses running, you got to have someone qualified and dedicated to be there and to drive those folks around and qualified. That's not an easy task.
No, it isn't. Yeah. You know, and there's, you know, with the being in the drug and alcohol pool that you have to be subject to for that, it limits your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a choice that you have to make. Mm-hmm. Do I want to do this as a career, mm-hmm. or do I not?
Interesting.
Lots
of choices, but very important career to join. So,
yeah.
And so if someone was interested in doing that, how would they even start? How would they approach it?
You can call operations,
yeah.
And there's an application we can send you, and you fill it all out. And when you're ready, you come in to Downing Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the maintenance facility is. That's where operations center is. And talk to someone, fill out the application, and they can schedule interviews right away.
That's great.
Yeah, we have had some people from other states that have transitioned over here, mm-hmm. and you know, they have found a place, found a home.
Great. So. Bob Malnati is my guest here this morning, the administrator of the BRTA, Berkshire Regional Transit Authority, and this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM and 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And just in the last couple minutes that we have, Bob here this morning, talk about, we sort of touched on ridership, but talk about the trends there and how things are going with people. Along with, we haven't mentioned it in a while, but the fare-free BRTA through September 30th, right?
Yep.
How has that looked over, you know, the last, you've been with the organization for 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a trend in ridership?
Yes, it's it took a dip. When we have records that go back for a ways, I think 30 years is the last that we looked. We ran a fare-free June and fare-free Julys of this past June and July. July was our second highest month in fixed route ridership in those 30 years, and that was 58,000 riders.
Wow.
So we average around high 40s, low 50s,
mm-hmm.
50,000 people riding in a month.
Wow.
That's a lot of rides.
And what do you attribute that to, that sort of peak or that spike?
That was the fare-free part,
yeah.
And it was the second month of the fare-free. We ended in June with 52,000. This went up to 58,000, and it's waffled back and forth. But that's right now is the high water mark.
Yeah. Is it economic, you think, or is it a pattern change in terms of employment?
I think a lot of that. I think it could be economic, where if I don't have to spend funding on riding a bus, I've got free cash to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe instead of the bus fare for a week or a month, now I can go to the lake, or I can go do a picnic somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's economics of work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your work shifted, or maybe you now have one car instead of two,
right,
or you don't have any car instead of one, and now you're reliant on that ride.
Yeah.
But I think it's a change in our demographics also.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting older; they're giving up licenses, or younger folks not wanting to drive yet.
Yeah.
And this is a way that we can. If you try it, if you like it, it'll work for you.
Yeah. Well, I think there's that thought pattern in the Berkshires where you can't do anything or get anywhere without a car. Where, you know, in other areas of the state and other states, that just isn't the case, right? You just say, well, I know I can get around. In the Berkshires, there's the feeling that you can't without. And it is expensive running a car, owning a car. All the insurance costs are going up 15-20% a year. I mean, it's really, really hard owning a car now. So, you know, sort of busting that myth a little bit this morning that there are ways to navigate and get around here in Berkshire County, and the BRTA is a pretty central part of that.
Yeah, and we...
Oh, go ahead.
We currently have a survey out right now where we're asking folks, what would you like to see us do?
Yeah.
And what is the next step?
And so, how do people get to that survey? 10 seconds.
ride the bus. Come to the Intermodal Center because we're doing it one-on-one for right now.
All right, there you go. Bob Elnati from the BRTA, thank you so much for being here this morning. It's been great having you. We ran out of time. I'm sure we could have talked about more.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See ya. Have a good weekend.